Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world. Today is Monday, November 11th, 2013, and we're having a beautiful autumn day here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to talk about something a little different. Usually we talk about toxic chemicals that we're being exposed to in our own homes or as we're going about our daily lives and how they are toxic, how they can affect our lives, and what we can do instead. Today we're going to talk about something that's a little less direct, but is affecting us nonetheless. And that is about how recycling and buying recycled products can help reduce our exposure to toxic chemicals. Now that may sound like, well, what's toxic about recycled products or what's safer about recycled products? But the thing is that there are things about recycled products that actually involve toxic chemicals, which we're going to find out about today. And that by doing these things, whether it's recycling something that you could recycle instead of throwing it in the trash or the landfill, or by buying a recycling product, you can help reduce the amount of toxic chemicals that are in our environment that may come back to you in breathing the air, drinking the water, or eating food that has been grown in the environment. Now, we're doing this today because this Friday, November 15th, is America Recycles Day. It's an event that happens every year to educate Americans about recycling because it seems that not everybody is yet recycling, so we're going to learn about this today. My guest is Brenda Pulley. She's the Senior Vice President of Recycling for Keep America Beautiful. Brenda joined Keep America Beautiful in 2010 to develop, execute, and expand America's Recycled Day. Thanks for being with me, Brenda.
Deborah, delighted to be here. Thank you.
Well, tell us more about, let's start with, tell us about Keep America Beautiful.
Sure. Keep America Beautiful has been around for 60 years. In fact, we're celebrating our 60th anniversary this year. We started as an anti-litter organization back then and took on those issues for several years. We have affiliates located in communities across the country and various partners. So we have over 1,000 affiliates and partners that we work with. And we're all about bringing people together in their respective communities and working with them, engaging them to help make their community what I call sort of their common environment cleaner, greener,
yes,
and better.
I remember when I was a kid, I'm almost 60, so I remember when I was a kid, and I remember those commercials about not littering, and I remember that phrase, keep America beautiful. So when I heard it again in association with recycling, I thought, well, this is just the newer version of what you've been doing for a very long time. So thank you so much for having that organization and being part of it and making less litter on the highways and in our towns and all those places, whether it goes into the garbage or whether it goes into recycling. It's all about putting our trash in the right place and not just strewing it around the environment.
It is, and I exactly like you say. I mean, we still, need to work in every community across the country to make sure that litter is picked up and that, you know, litter is prevented. And that's one thing I say about recycling and waste reduction and recycling. It is about, it is what I call sort of the preventive maintenance to littering. So you're exactly right. Thank you.
Yes, I see the connection.
Exactly.
And I'm thinking about, you know, particularly all those soda cans. Those are something that could easily be recycled. But I think that a lot of people, especially people of my age that saw those commercials, they
really stuck. I just want to let you know that they really made an impression on me. And in fact, I have one friend in particular, who every time she sees a piece of litter, she picks it up. And she takes it and she recycles it or puts it in the trash because she's just taking responsibility for other people not doing that. And as we walk down the street, she'll just pick up the litter. And I think that's very admirable and something other people could be doing as well.
Well, those are the ambassadors we rely on, frankly. And there's nothing like, you know, creating that example that she has. I mean, that's actually exactly what we want to do with recycling these days is how do you create that example, that social norm, where recycling is just the natural thing for all of us to do?
Well, one of the things that I learned a number of years ago, I went to Germany for the first time. And it's Germany is an interesting place because I went there in 1990 before we had anything green here. And in Germany, I was very surprised to see that there are recycling bins on every street corner. So where we have public trash cans, and in some places we have recycling bins, but they have them everywhere. And they're divided into, you know, glass, paper, metal. And when you're done with your soda can or your paper plate or whatever, it just goes straight into the recycling bin. I would like to see more of that in America. Because I think that the reason that some people don't recycle is that they maybe have more to recycle, but it's difficult to do that.
Well, I share that objective with you, and there are lots of reasons, and we can talk about why other countries have much more infrastructure and much more of a culture recycling than we've developed here in the United States. But I would like to say it's one of those things that we, Keep America Beautiful, and I think even as a country, are working on. And first and foremost, it's about making recycling convenient, and that means having that recycling bin, whether it's at home or at work or at school or, as we say, you just pointed out, when you're out and about. Because particularly we're much more on-the-go society. And so we're generating that soda can, you know, that fast food packaging. We're generating it when we're out and about. And so we want to be able, in those locations, to make it very easy and convenient for people to recycle.
Yes, I agree. And I just want to mention, because this is something that I found out recently, is the other day I went to Best Buy, and I've mentioned this on the show before, but I want to say it on this show, is I went to Best Buy, and when I just walked in the door, they had all these bins very clearly marked about being able to recycle electronic-oriented things, like cords and cell phones and things like that, that you can just walk in the door and put it in the bin. And I happened to go there because I needed to buy a new mouse for my computer, and so I brought it with me, and even though there wasn't a bin for mice, when I bought the new mouse, I gave it to the old one to the cashier, and she took it for recycling. And I think that's a wonderfully responsible thing to do. And I also had another guest on where we were talking about taking back pharmaceuticals and keeping those out of the environment and how we need to have more programs for recycling pharmaceuticals. So this whole thing about recycling, really, as we will see today, will keep toxic components out of the environment. Brenda, before we go to the break, could you just tell us for a minute about how you personally got interested in recycling?
Sure. I think similar to you, you know, growing up in the, you know, 70s, I would say, is when we really saw that first Earth Day come about. In fact, you know, Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council were both engaged in that, releasing one of the most famous commercials of the crying Indian. And
I remember that.
You know, also in my own home life, just being part of that culture and being exposed to, you know, nature and preserving and the things that we could do to be much more conserving, I think it was sort of instilled in me early on, and then having it reinforced from a society standpoint in the 70s, I think it really made an impression on me. And so my work, whether I, you know, I worked for the U.S. House of Representatives for years, and then just since then, there are significant energy environmental issues that we have as a society. But having said that, there's so much opportunity of things that we can do to become more energy efficient, but things like recycling where we can really preserve our natural resources and things like that. So I think for me, that was sort of the personal passion and then seeing the opportunity to help make a difference.
Great. Well, we need to go to break in just a few seconds. And so we'll talk more about this when we come back. My guest today is Brenda Pulley, Senior Vice President of Recycling from Keep America Beautiful. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and we'll be back after this.
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and today we're talking about how recycling and buying recycled products can reduce the overall toxics in the world. It may not make a difference to us much, although sometimes it can in the particular products we're being exposed to, but how it can make a difference in the overall environment. And my guest today is Brenda Pulley. She's the Senior Vice President of Recycling from Keep America Beautiful. Well, Brenda, let's talk about recycling now. So the biggest thing that I think is the thing that's related to toxic chemical exposures is the fact that if you collect material and then recycle it into a new product, there's a tremendous amount of energy savings. So could you tell us about that?
Sure. There is a tremendous amount of energy savings. And it's when we think cumulative, so just take, EPA estimates that we're at a national recycling rate of about 34%. If you take out sort of what we call green waste, so grass clippings and things like that, so think of packaging and other things, and the electronics you talk about, we're at like a 24, 25% recycling rate. But of that 34% recycling rate, that's energy equivalent of savings of nearly 230 million barrels of oil, which...
That's huge!
It's huge, and it's hard for me to comprehend that, so good old EPA even translates that into that's really the equivalent of an annual energy consumption of nearly 15 million homes in the U.S. So I know I throw a lot of numbers at you, but it is just, you know, what I'd leave people with the impression is there are, in almost every situation of what can be recycled, there is significant energy savings by recycling. And I will tell you, I worked for several years in the aluminum industry, and that aluminum can that you referred to earlier, when you recycle that aluminum can, there was literally, going from can to can, it's like 80% energy efficiency saved there from doing it. It's a much easier streamlined system to take a can and remelt it down versus mining all that raw material and processing all that raw material into finished aluminum. So a lot of facts, but to your point, significant energy savings.
And so if people are saving energy, would you happen to know, like, what are the toxic chemicals that are not being released into the environment?
Well, I would just say, I'm not sure which ones to label toxic or not. So please, you can label
them pollutants.
For me.
Pollutants, whether they're toxic or not.
Yeah, I mean, so look, where do you get your energy from, right? So it's either oil or it's generated by the transfer, using coal or natural gas. So they're all those, you know, all the emissions, as many as controls that there are these days, all the emissions related to that don't need to occur or can occur on a much significantly lower level. So that's one. But for aluminum, it's literally, you know, there's a lot of bauxite mining that must go on. And again, while there are all kinds of controls in place from the mining and the processing, all those natural resources that don't have to be mined and certain air emissions released, or just even, you know, the ground disturbed, and think of the dust that's released, or the electricity that has to be generated and all the releases related to that. I mean, that's how I think about all those different points in the manufacturing process that now don't have to take place.
Right.
Because we're recycling materials. Now, having said that, we've got to look at the recycling process, and there are certain controls and measures in place to make sure that the recycling process is also done in a very safe and efficient way.
Oh, tell us about that.
Well, let's take electronics. I mean, you referred to that earlier, right? And we all have, I mean, it's estimated 60 million to 100 million homes, I mean, 60 million to 100 million phones that we all have stored in our drawers or in the cabinets, right, or in the basement. These are just cell phones annually. They're not being recycled, and they have short, useful lives these days because we all like sort of the newest and greatest phone. But electronics recycling is really one of those things that not only all the emissions that we just talked about that don't have to be generated when you manufacture new electronics, so it's lots of metals, right? It's lead, it's cadmium, mercury in some instances, so that's less and less, but it's also more precious metals, if you will, that when they're recycled, I mean, one of the things the industry has made great advancements in over the last 5+ years is making sure that there are now, particularly globally, and more controls in place to make sure that when those recyclables are processed, I mean, sometimes many of the equipment can be refurbished and reused, but now they're going to recycle it. I mean, there are many instances where, particularly in developing countries, there are not the appropriate controls in place, and there can be burning, for example, to uncontrolled burning, if you will, to extract some of the metals and things out of that. So the industry is taking great strides at not only in the U.S., but developing global standards to put in place protections and criteria where that will no longer happen. So it is important for all of us, say when we're going to recycle your electronics, so taking them to somewhere like Best Buy or Staples or your community electronic collection day, those are instances where you can feel pretty assured that they're being handled properly. But if there are other avenues that you want to get your material recycled, it's very important to check and make sure that they're validated and they're licensed by some, there are some third-party certifiers out there now. And it's just, it's important, and I encourage all your listeners to make sure, A, to recycle, particularly their electronics, but to make sure that they're turning them over properly. And therefore, it's not, I would also say, not only all the emissions that we just talked about, but proper data management is another issue.
Yes, I agree. And I think that part of it about switching to having what we could probably call a recycling mindset is to get out of the habit of just tossing things in the garbage can and paying attention to what it is that we're actually throwing away. And I found that as I have more awareness of that, then it's not difficult to decide, well, like I have a basket that's just for paper so that I don't even have to sort my trash. This is the paper basket, and I have a bin that the city gives me, and I just put my recyclables that go to the city like a can. I have hardly any cans at all. But, you know, like a plastic tub from yogurt or something, it just goes straight into the recycling bin. And I think that part of it has to just do with awareness and changing our habits. We need to go to break again, but we'll be right back. I'm talking with Brenda Pulley, Senior Vice President of Recycling from Keep America Beautiful. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Brenda Pulley, Senior Vice President of Recycling for Keep America Beautiful. And we're talking about how recycling can reduce your exposure to toxic chemicals. Let's see, what else should we talk about? Let's talk about recycling some other kinds of products that may be related to toxic exposures. One would be plastic, and another would be motor oil.
Absolutely. I mean, so again, in each of those instances, there are many benefits to reusing and recycling them. So let's take our plastic bags. You know, it took me several times walking into that grocery store to remember to go back to my car and get that reusable bag, and it's something I wanted to do. So yes, it is something that we all have to work at and to be encouraged to. And so where we can reduce and where we can recycle, I do want to encourage all your listeners, there are many benefits to doing it. And you're pointing out one of the great aspects of how it really reduces emissions and toxics that we get exposed to every day. So if you think of used oil, you know, for years, it's actually an issue I worked on when I worked for the U.S. House of Representatives. It's, you know, people commonly would take used oil and pour it to kill certain kinds of weeds and things like that. And frankly, it's one of the worst things that you can do because it leaches into the water system of which we drink. And so the good news is over the last 20, 30 years, you know, there's been big messages for people that still, and there are, you know, a large percentage of people that still recycle their, or I should say change their own oil from their automobiles, from their, you know, lawnmowers, those kinds of things. But at least there are many more places where they can take that used oil back and get it recycled. And in fact, it is now common for it to be re-refined into new used oil. So it's taken years for that to happen, you know, a lot of effort, but that is now a use for used oil.
Well, I think that that's what we need to be changing our minds and our the way we view this whole thing. There's a wonderful, wonderful book, I don't know if you're familiar with it, called Cradle to Cradle.
Sure,
it's been around for a long time, by William McDonough. And in this book, he explains how nature, the environment, is just one huge recycling factory. Because everything, if you just think of it in terms of a tree, in the spring, a tree grows new green leaves, and the leaves do their thing of photosynthesis and all these things. And then in the fall, if you have a deciduous tree, the leaves turn colors and they drop off the tree. But what happens next is that those leaves, when they go down into the ground, is that all the little microorganisms and the earthworms and everything come and break down the leaves into nutrients, which then go into the soil, which then feeds the tree to be able to produce a new crop of leaves. That's recycling. Yeah, it's inherent in nature. And so what William McDonough and his co-author are saying is that we should be doing like trees do, and that everything that we use should be able to go back into the system and get recycled into a new product. Now, we're a long way from that, but if we start thinking in those terms, then we would have an abundance of materials to make into products instead of depleting our resources. And certainly, recycling also includes, as you said, reuse and reduce, as well as recycle. That the first thing that you want to do is even better than recycle, is to reuse something. Whether that's, just like I cut up the backs of papers, like if I print something out and I don't send it someplace off my computer, then I just put it in a pile, and if I need notepads to take notes, write down messages from a telephone or something, I just cut those pieces of paper in quarters, and I have a little basket that I put it in, and that's how I make my notepads. I don't go to a store and buy a notepad. I can make a notepad. I reuse my jars. All of these things, every time we reuse something in our houses or in our places of work, we're again cutting back on the amount of energy even more, because it takes zero energy to make a notepad out of a piece of paper that would have gone in the trash. And then the more uses you get out of these things, the less and less energy we're using, and the cleaner and cleaner our air will breathe. It will be the cleaner our environment will be just by taking these simple steps at home.
And I would just add, that's a great example. I mean, it's all of us thinking about what we can do, what steps we can take, and knowing that those small steps, cumulative, help truly make a big difference. So
yes, we do.
We talked about the energy benefits of recycling, and one more I would put that there are, climate change-related issues such as carbon dioxide.
Yes.
Just the recycling that occurs today in the U.S. at that 34% recycling rate, believe it or not, that recycling avoids emissions of greenhouse gases that are equivalent to taking 35 million cars off the road for a year. So again, all those, you're talking about all the reduction that doesn't have to happen, all the releases of various emissions and those kinds of things, whether it's air and or water or the land, that don't have to happen when we recycle and recycle properly.
Yes, yes. I also want to mention again, from Cradle to Cradle, that when people are designing products, it's important to design them in a way that all the materials can be recycled. And for us as consumers to think about, are we buying products and packaging that can be recycled? For example, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think those aseptic boxes, those juice boxes, I think they can't be recycled because they're layers and they would have to be taken apart, the aluminum part taken off, the plastic part taken off, that something like a glass bottle, you just take the lid off and you drink it or eat it or whatever, and then toss the glass bottle into the recycling. But something like an aseptic package is very, very difficult to recycle. And if we start thinking about at the beginning how we're going to recycle and reuse that material at the end, that's something to consider. And I think that as we all start becoming more aware of these things, that the world will change for the better. This is just the right thing to be doing.
It absolutely is, and you touch on so many points that I want to address, and one is, again,
Please.
You know, we have conversations all the time with manufacturers. They're starting to look now more at what we call sort of a life cycle of a product. And to your point about now, not only looking at in the life what happens and what can be reclaimed and reused, but also looking at the front end when designing that product or packaging to be thinking of, you know, what materials, what design do you use so they can be recycled at the end of life. So there's a plastic bottle out there right now that has a full plastic wrap that the recycling process can't read and know where to put that recycled bottle. So, mm-hmm. you know, the industry is working on how they can change that so the recycling process can, in fact, read it. Or if you look at products, like you said, you know, and there's more and more effort looking at how can we better label products so all of us, when we go to purchase something, know that it has recycled
yes.
content.
I
you
totally, I'm a big one about changing labeling, but we'll talk about that more after.
Yeah, I'd love to.
I'm Dad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio, and we're talking about recycling with Brenda Pulley from Keep America Beautiful. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dad, and my guest today is Brenda Pulley from Keep America Beautiful, and we're talking about recycling. Brenda, you wanted to say something about labeling.
Sure. Just that, you know, I think you raised a couple products that, you know, when you go to purchase, having that information about, you know, one is it recyclable or not? But also we know from surveys that individuals are interested in knowing if it has recycled content or not.
Yes.
And, you know, there's so much that needs to go on a label, but like you, it's a topic that truly interests me so that consumers are aware when they go to purchase something whether to how to recycle it and if it contains recycled content so we can close that loop you mentioned.
Yes, we do need to know about both ends. We need to know if it can be recycled. We need to know how much recycled content there is so that we can make that choice. I just think that consumers should have as much information as possible, and I think there are critical things, and I think that the recycling information is one of those. The other thing is that I think we need to have a big revamp of how toxic products get labeled. And I know that's not a recycling issue here,
sure.
But I think in terms of labeling, we just don't have enough information. And I think that if the toxic ingredients of consumer products were really put on the labels, the people would stop buying them in droves because they would know instead of just looking at a label and seeing nothing. So anyway.
You raise a very good point. I mean, you know, particularly toxics, the way that you're researching them and looking at them, it does get very complicated. But we do know some information that can and should more easily be shared with the general public. And frankly,
yes.
we have some of that in recycling. It happens to be a complicated issue and very local issue. And so part of the task is encouraging people so that they want to recycle, making it convenient, and then making the information for their unique community easily
yes.
available for them so they'll know how to recycle.
Yes, I totally agree. Totally agree. So I want to ask you a toxics question, actually, about recycled products, because recycled content sounds like a good thing, and it is a good thing to recycle. But what if you're recycling something that's toxic? Now, some of those recycled things, those plastic containers, like I think it's number 5, PVC. PVC is a toxic plastic, and you can recycle it, and it can be recycled any number of times, but it's still a toxic plastic. So do you have any comment about the toxics and recycling like that? That's just an example.
I'm not as familiar, and I probably should be, with that one particularly, but I think also as we talked earlier about manufacturers looking at how products are made and what goes into products, that on their radar screen, you know, I come in very specifically from a recycling angle. You come
right.
in at also from the toxic angle. But if
yeah.
they can look at, you know, a host of those issues and look at how to reduce things like toxicity factors that are going into them, or mm-hmm. other factors that create all kinds of air emissions or other things, if they can reduce the use of those, and advocating for that is an important thing to do. So in my industry, it's also not just about recyclability, but it's also about lightweighting. So it's the use of less material to begin with. So those are
right.
some steps that are being taken, but I know when you look at it particularly from a toxicity angle, are there ways to look at, can you avoid use of a certain material or not? And to continue to push for that and get it on the radar screen, I think is very important.
I think so too. Another one that falls in that category for me is recycled paper. And I think that what I want to say about this first is that sometimes the issue is that we just don't have enough information, as you said. And so my question that comes up about recycled paper often is, well, paper itself is just cellulose from trees. There's nothing about paper that is a problem. But then there's bleaches and there's inks and there's, you know, some of those inks have lead in them, and especially the colored ones. There's VOCs, all kinds of things, and ink is a big problem. So then you recycle that paper, and what happens to those inks and metals and things, and are the recycling processes for paper set up to remove those kinds of things? I just don't know the answer to that. And you may not either.
No, but I actually have some familiarity with that. And you're right. That is part of the process that we should think about, right? It's not just the recycling and the benefits, but making sure that the recycling process is also properly handled. And I can tell you that, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was not as much as it needed to be. And today, whether you look at emission controls, as I said earlier, on air or water releases or land releases, there are many, not that there's not more to do, but I can tell you that there are many more controls than there were 20 and 30 years ago, because we have had agencies at both the federal EPA and local governments that now have looked and put in place controls on those kinds of things. I used to represent the solvent recyclers, and so there were all kinds of air emission controls on them, as there should have been when it came to recycling, to make sure that those VOCs were captured.
Yes, they should be. And this is one of the things that, again, in Cradle to Cradle, they talk about, that there may be a place for toxic chemicals. As much as it made me cringe when I read that, I have to agree with them, that if toxic chemicals can be contained so that we're not being exposed to them, like, and I think an example would be like Freon or something, that it would be used as a coolant. If it was contained, if it was collected, and if it was recycled, then use of that toxic chemical wouldn't affect health or the environment, and it would be able to be used in a beneficial way. But that's not what we're doing now. So we just need to be, I think, as a culture, we need to be thinking about what kinds of steps do we need to be taking so that we can all be living in a more responsible way, and have an agreement between consumers and regulators and manufacturers and organizations, so that these things happen all down the line, whether we're talking about recycling or reducing toxics or any other issue that benefits our health and the environment. It really is a cooperation between all those different levels, and that sometimes, like I know, for example, I want to have chickens in my backyard, but I can't because it's illegal where I live. And as astonishing as that sounds, I had some chickens. I broke the law and put chickens in my backyard, and the police came and took them away. So that's not a supportive law. That law does not support life. but that's what we need to be looking at, is are our regulations, are our laws, are our actions, are all the pieces of our society agreed and aligned on getting these kinds of things in that help all of us?
And that's an interesting point you raised, because it is, how can we all work together and partner so that we can figure out how to minimize or to find complementary ways when waste is generated that can be positively used? So
yes, absolutely. Well, Brenda, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. We only have just a few minutes left of the show. Are there any final words that you'd like to say, anything that you haven't said that you want to say?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I mean, I think one thing is that just to reassure people that materials, it is worth recycling for all the reasons that we've talked about, right? I mean, whether it's energy and environmental and the toxics reduced in our society, the waste that's reduced, it really is worth recycling in so many instances. And in those materials where it's not yet, progress continues to be made, and the technology gets sophisticated more and more to where materials can be economically and environmentally safely recycled. And so that would be my one thing of encouragement to share with you and your listeners, is the importance of, and that it's beneficial to, you can really give new life to something when it is recycled. And if they need more information,
yes,
we did just launch a new ad campaign with the Ad Council, so they can go to iwanttoberecycled.org, and there's information there on what can be recycled and where to find recycling.
I went to that site. It's really cute. There's one about, there's a picture of a plastic, a bench or something, and it says, I want to be recycled.
Yeah. It does. I mean, and that is to show people how it really is worth doing. You're raising, you know, a set of unique issues about why it's important, but it is. At the end of the day, there are just a multitude of benefits to recycle, and we encourage people to do so.
There are. And you want to give a plug for America Recycles Day? People can go to AmericaRecyclesDay.org to find out more about that. But is there anything special happening on the 15th?
Listen, there are events across the country happening. It's a wonderful, it's great to see all, you know, people that are very interested and they want to share recycling in their community. So there are events going on across the country, from Washington, D.C. tomorrow. We're going to be on the National Mall and down in the Business District getting people caught in the act of recycling and inviting them to take
the
Recycle Pledge. Or LA Live out in Los Angeles. There's going to be big events out there all day long with electronics collection, and then at the game that night, you know, there'll be people getting caught recycling. So literally across the country, there are wonderful events occurring, and we encourage people to go to our site and take the America Recycles Day Pledge, please.
Yes, I encourage that too. I think it's a great idea. Okay, thanks so much, Brenda. And have a wonderful America Recycles Day, and thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Deborah. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thank you. So you've been listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. If you'd like to know more about this show, if you'd like to listen to other shows with other guests, you can go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. Every Monday I post the new guests for the week, so you could go there right now and find out who else is going to be on this week. You could go to the archives and listen to, there's more than 100 shows archived there. You can also, across the top, there's a menu where you can find out more about how to find non-toxic products. I'm Deborah Lindad. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio.